In today's episode, I'm going to give you some long-term maintenance strategies for weight loss. I'm going to give you a checklist to make sure that your body is prepared to go into a cut, into a calorie deficit. And then I'm going to give you the principles of a safe calorie deficit. You have to take really good care of your body in perimenopause. You can't do the same things that you would do to your body when you were in your 20s or 30s. So buckle up. Let's talk a little bit more about weight loss today in the Perimenopause Show. Hey there, it's Jennifer Woodward, and welcome to the Perimenopause Show, the go-to spot for all things perimenopause. I'm on a mission to demystify this wild ride, sharing stories, laughs, and maybe a few eye-rolling moments. Whether you're knee-deep in hot flashes or just curious, we've got you covered. Expect real talk, expert guests, and a sprinkle of humor because, let's face it, we could all use a laugh during perimenopause. So grab your favorite drink, get comfy, and let's navigate this roller coaster together. This is the Perimenopause Show, where we're turning perimenopause into a conversation, not a crisis. Welcome back to the Perimenopause Show. I'm Jennifer Woodward. And in today's episode, we are going to continue our exposition on weight loss. Why? Because it is the number one question that women have for me when we go over our discovery calls. All right. I want to start off today by going over a typical discovery call I have. Women book calls with me. They want my one-to-one services. They want to know, you know, what's going on with their hormones. They want to know what's going on with their weight. They want to know what's going on with their sleep and libido, but mostly they want to know what's going on with their weight. And so I have this typical client, this client that will call in, and I hear the same story every single day. And it breaks my heart because women are being sold a false bill of goods. We think that if we do everything right, our bodies will respond in kind, but how do we know that we have it right? Clearly, if it's not working for us, we don't have it right. So if you are being told to just cut calories and exercise more, you don't have it right. If you are being told eat a perfectly clean, balanced diet and you're not losing weight, you probably don't have it right. As I just went over, like not 10 minutes ago, with an HTMA client, you can have this perfectly clean diet that, you know, would tick every box on an orthorexics, you know, meal plan, right? Orthorexia is that phenomenon where people are overly obsessed with the quality of food. It's not that they're concerned with like calories or macronutrients or micronutrients. It's like, is my food clean enough, right? And your food can be clean enough, but again, according to whose standards. But you still, number one, might be eating too much of it. You might be insulin resistant, or you might be stuck in sympathetic nervous system dominance, where your body just can't lose weight, even if you cut calories down to, you know, 1500 or 1200 a day. So let's go over the typical case of, you know, a Jennifer Woodward nutrition client who calls me and is like, hey, so nice to meet with you. I want to find out what's going on with my hormones. Code minion. I want to find out what's going on with my weight. So here is Emma's intake, you know, and I changed her name for privacy. But basically she told me she's been working out. She's been eating great. No matter what she does, she has a spare tire that she cannot get rid of. This is what else she told me. Monday through Friday, she eats great. She's like on plan. She does all the things. But then she gets a little off track on Saturday and Sunday, you know, eats a little bit more sugar, drinks a little bit more alcohol because she's tried so hard during the week that she's like, screw it. I'm going to do, you know, whatever I want on the weekend because what I'm doing during the week isn't working anyways, right? So I'm just going to eat whatever I want. Emma's 41 years old. 2 years ago at 39, her doctor said she might be in perimenopause and asked her, what test did your doctor run to corroborate this? What information did your doctor give you to tell you that you were in perimenopause? And she said, oh, nothing. She just said, you're about the age where you might be in perimenopause. So here's some birth control. And Emma was like, no, I don't want to go on birth control. I would like to try to do this a little bit more naturally because Emma's history had been that of IVF. So she has tried, you know, multiple times to get pregnant through IVF, 5 rounds of IVF, and didn't really feel at this point like birth control is the answer. All right. So here's Emma's like daily, you know, I always ask my clients, like, what do you eat on a Tuesday? What do you eat on a Saturday? Let's go through a typical day of eating. So here's her typical day of eating on a weekday. She has coffee in the morning. She gets up early. She works out on a fasted, you know, like empty stomach, one cup of coffee. And then when she gets back after her workout, she has a smoothie. She has athletic greens. She has frozen blueberries, spinach, protein powder, banana. And that keeps her full for a while because she has that protein powder, right? Lunch, she has a yogurt bowl with some flaxseed and some chia seeds and cinnamon and nuts. Sometimes, if she's hungry midday, she'll have a Kind bar. Dinner is always something really healthy. So it's like ground turkey and cauliflower rice or a salad or, some other protein and vegetable, and they eat at home most days. So this is a really typical client, right? By the time Emma gets home from work, she goes to the gym. She gets home, she goes to work, and she picks up her daughter between 3 and 4 p.m. And then she's running her daughter around the rest of the day. Like, raise your hand if that's you. And she just doesn't know why she's not losing weight. And this is like such a typical client. I can't overemphasize this, you guys. You're doing all the things, everything you read in like Self Magazine and Shape Magazine and see on Instagram, you're doing, and you're wondering, like, what is going on with my body? And I will tell you, the number one, you're stuck in sympathetic nervous system overdrive. Like, I again can't emphasize that enough. Number two, you're probably pretty dang insulin resistant. You have spent decades under sleeping, over exercising, kind of relying on coffee and sugar, and for a lot of us, alcohol for a period of time. And that worked for you for a period of time. But really, what that was doing was, increasing insulin resistance over a period of years or decades to now, where you can't get that glucose into the cell where it belongs. You're storing glucose in your fat tissue instead of in your liver and in your skeletal muscles where you can use it for energy because you've become insulin resistant. And that's another reason that women can't lose weight. And that's another reason why I don't see in my practice women losing a ton of weight when they're on a super like balanced diet, right? We really have to emphasize protein in the diet. And as I tell my women, like, you can go one of two ways in perimenopause. You can either prioritize protein and eat more fat and less carbohydrates, or you can prioritize protein and eat more carbohydrates and less fat. But if you're eating like a typically balanced diet, like a 35, 30, 30 macronutrient breakdown, or something worse than that, where you're not getting anywhere close to 35% of your calories as protein, then you're probably overeating one of your macronutrients and your body is really resisting the mechanism of action of insulin. So again, you're storing any sugar that you do take in your fat tissue instead of in your liver and your muscles. And that is a big bummer. So that's it in a nutshell. But again, you need to be working first and foremost to get out of sympathetic nervous system dominance. You have to be working on your stress management. So your outside time, your breath work, your leisure time, your Epsom salt baths, your prioritizing protein. These are the things that really get us out of that fight or flight mode. And, really telling your body, hey, you're okay. How many times throughout the day, if I were just to call you or text you and ask you, like, hey, if you were to check in with yourself and ask yourself, do I feel okay right now? What would the answer be? Right? If I were to be like, hey, Jennifer, hello, it's 10:47 a.m. Do a self-check. Ask your body, am I okay? Am I safe? And more than likely, your initial reaction is going to be, no, I am not. I'm stressed out. I haven't eaten enough food. I have too many things to do. I'm pulled in too many directions. I am not safe. And that is the signal that we are giving our body every single hour, every single day, every single month. And we wonder why our hormones are all jacked up and why we can't lose weight. Well, we are stuck in that fight or flight mode. So that's why the whole purpose of what I do at Jennifer Woodford Nutrition is to get people, women specifically, out of fight or flight mode so that their bodies are resilient enough to lose weight. And again, if you want more information on specifics, go back and listen to the last two episodes that we have published. But let's just say that you are wanting to go into a cut, that you are wanting to reduce your intake of food just a little bit so that you can theoretically lose weight. You can only do this after you've been nourished for a period of time. I will not have any of my clients go on a cut unless we've spent at least 2 or 3 months eating approximately 2,000 calories a day. Sometimes it's 1,900, sometimes it's 2,200, but we have to get up to a physiologically healthy level of calories before we can even think about going into a cut. What does that look like? Like, how do you know that you're actually ready to lose weight? Well, the work of researcher and clinician Ray Peet is one of the, you know, one of the men, the gurus that really informs what I do with nutritionists, the father of pro-metabolic nutrition. There are many fantastic clinicians out there who really adhere to a pro-metabolic way of eating. I've done it for a period of time. I've felt better while I'm doing more pro-metabolic eating, which is more carbohydrate heavy, a little less protein, a little less fat, a little more carbohydrate heavy, but really focusing in on your biomarkers and making sure that your body is in that healthy spot in order to lose weight. So let's talk about what that looks like. We want to make sure that our basal body temperature is at least 98 degrees, like 97.6 or above. So the way you can do that is actually like you can measure your body temperature. I actually keep this in my drawer. I had my own coach and I had to measure my body temperature. This is just a little cheap. If you can't see me because you're listening to a podcast, I'm just holding up a cheap thermometer I got from Amazon for like $5. This is a Bonquer brand. And if you take your body temperature before you get out of bed in the morning, and it's significantly lower than 98 degrees, then your metabolism is not yet healthy enough to go into a cut. Now, the next thing on your preparedness checklist would be to have a really stable mood, good energy, and a strong libido. Likely, if you're listening to this podcast, that is not you, right? Your mood sucks, your energy is tanked, and you don't even know what a libido is at this point in your life. When you're metabolically healthy, all of those things are going to feel quite robust. And once those things are robust, then you know that you're probably ready for the stress of your body to go into a little bit of a calorie deficit. We have a huge, you know, part of our checklist here at Jennifer Woodward Nutrition because we focus on periods, like perimenopausal period health. So if you have a painless and symptom-free regular period, relatively regular period, then you're probably healthy enough to go into a cut. If you don't, then you're not. If you're pooping normally, then you're ready to go into a cut. Now, this is like the bane of my existence. This is why I hire all of my own coaches because I'm continually trying to find out WTF is going on with my gut health. I've done all the things, everything. Right now, I'm in a pretty good groove working on some of this pro-metabolic stuff with my coach, Kathleen. So shout out to Kathleen if you ever listen to this, but working on, you know, getting a proper amount of protein, a proper amount of carbohydrates and fat, really focusing in on, you know, stress management and autonomic nervous system regulation. Like we had to work through some kind of like heavy emotional and mental stuff about a history of a firstborn, people pleasing, you know, perfectionist type A kind of person that I am, and the way that really impacts your autonomic nervous system and your bowel habits, really. It makes you constipated. So there you go, everybody. That's maybe the first time I've said constipation on the show, but it certainly won't be the last. If you're pooping normally 1 to 3 times a day, then we know that your metabolism is revving high enough for you to go into a calorie deficit. If it's not, then wait, then pause. You're not healthy enough to go into a cut. If you're sleeping at least 6 to 7 hours a night, relatively uninterrupted, maybe you get up to go pee, you're drinking your bagel, water bottle, you know, all day long. You get up and you go pee once or twice a night, but you go right back to sleep. That's normal sleep. But if you're up, you know, from 1 to 3 a.m., or you get up at 4:30 and you can't go back to sleep, or you just can't fall asleep, your body is too stressed out. That is fight or flight mode, and you are not ready to go into a cut just yet. All right. And then finally, if you're managing your stress well, every little thing makes you fly off the handle, you are not ready to go into a cut. If you feel like you can handle with resilience and grace most of the stressors that come your way, because every day for us women is going to be stressful, then it's probably an okay time for you to think about a little bit of a calorie deficit. So that is our preparedness checklist for weight loss. We want to make sure we focus on body temperature being 98.6 or 98.0 degrees to 98.6 degrees or even beyond. We want stable mood, good energy, a strong libido. We want a painless and symptom-free menstrual period, satisfying and normal bowel movements 1 to 3 times a day, 7 hours at least of quality sleep every night, and effective proper stress management. Now, if that is you, then you are probably ready to go into a little bit of a cut. And I really do recommend, you know, work with someone. Of course, I would love to work with you, but there are many people who can work with you on an effective deficit. I have had multiple clients who have come to me though, and have worked with coaches who just have them go lower and lower and lower in their calories. They're not losing weight. And so their coach is like, well, we just need to cut more calories. Well, we just need to cut more calories. And after a while, their bodies just burn out, their nervous systems burn out, and they're unable to lose any more weight. So that's why I really give you this caveat of making sure that you've got this metabolic, you know, checklist prepared. Checklist so that you actually are ready to go into this deficit. And this is what a safe deficit looks like. You don't want to cut more than 400 calories at a time. And remember, this is from an all-time high of 2000 to 2200 calories, right? If you can stay at 2000, 2100, 2200 calories for months on end and maybe only put on a pound or 2 pounds or stay at maintenance, that's what I aim to do with my clients when we're doing like a reverse diet or at maintenance. You know, we want the highest number of calories possible without actually gaining a significant amount of weight. That's my threshold. If that's happening for you, then you can probably go into, you know, 300 calorie, 400 calorie deficit. It still puts you at 1700 or 1800 calories. That's not anywhere near, you know, the starvation number that women go into for months on end, months, you know, 1500, 1200, or even lower. You can go into a relatively, you know, heavy deficit for a period of time, but no more than 6 weeks. You can't handle it, right? Then you're working on increasing your calories again after that. So you want to work down to that target caloric intake and remain in your deficit for really, really only 6 weeks. I wouldn't do longer than 6 weeks personally or with clients, right? You want to do everything you can in that short period of time because you lose a lot of a zest for life when you're in a calorie deficit, right? You can do it, you can go gung ho real hard for a couple of weeks, but man, if you have a 12-week cut, you're gonna feel pretty crappy for those last like, you know, month or even two. It's not gonna be as effective. So we want maximum efficacy in the shortest period of time. So 6 weeks is generally the amount of time that I will spend in the cut with my clients. All right. After that 6 weeks, you can take a 1 week break just to refuel, but this isn't where you go crazy or you've negated all of your effort, right? Like moi. So consider this. I did a popular shake cleanse after my fourth child. I felt like I was better than everyone else because I lost 20 pounds. I was like, of course you can lose 20 pounds. Everyone can lose 20 pounds. You just have to, you know, do this popular shake program. But guess what? Like the day I finished that 28-day cleanse, I remember sitting out in my backyard with a tub of coconut butter, unable to stop myself from eating coconut butter. Like, who eats coconut butter? It's kind of nasty. But I was just so deprived and so hungry, and I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a purpose that I ate that whole freaking jar of coconut butter. And I felt really gross afterwards. And unsurprisingly, tended to, you know, gain my weight back pretty quickly after doing some of those stronger and more, you know, just harder diets. You don't need to do those things for an extended period of time. And you need to have a plan while you're in a deficit. And then you need to have a plan for coming out of your deficit. Now, also, when you're in your deficit, you want to make sure that you are minimizing your stress as much as possible. When I do the metabolic reset with my clients, which I will do for a select number of clients after we've achieved maintenance for a period of time, it is a lower calorie, like a significantly lower calorie diet. But during that time, we're not working out. You're not exercising. You're not inviting extra stress into the body. It's a time of reducing inflammation, reducing food, you know, and reducing stress so that the body can really handle that extra stress of dieting. You don't want to do like an extra stress of dieting and then an extra stress of working out super hard or an extra stress of waking up super early to go do your heavy workout. It really has that is the part that has to be balanced. So that is what I really, you know, recommend doing with clients. It's what I do myself, and it's what I would recommend for you, dear listener or watcher. I hope those things are helpful. Today, to recap, we talked about, you know, your preparedness checklist for weight loss, what it looks like to go into kind of that long-term maintenance, and then principles of a safe deficit. Now, weight loss can be done in perimenopause, but it's much harder. It's different. It looks different than it did, you know, in your 20s and 30s. So I would encourage you, like, don't try harder, try different. So we'll include some of that preparedness checklist for you here in the show notes. I would love to hear any questions you have, any comments. You know, you're free to disagree with me. I would never say that what I do is the only way to do things. It's just one of the ways to do things that seems to work well for me and my clients, and something that I just wanted to share with you. But all that to say, thank you for listening and join us next time on the Perimenopause Show. Bye. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed our candid chat about perimenopause, the good, the challenging, and everything in between. If you found this episode as enlightening and entertaining as I did, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a dose of perimenopausal realness.
Before you go, remember that you're not alone in this journey. We're building a community of kick-ass women, embracing the changes and supporting each other. Connect with us on social media, share your stories, and let's keep this conversation going. And hey, if you have a burning question, a topic you'd love us to tackle, or just want to say hello, shoot us a message. Your feedback keeps this podcast fueled and fabulous. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Until next time, take care, stay fabulous, and remember, perimenopause is just another chapter in the adventure of being a woman. Catch you on the flip side.